שלום, השיעור שלנו בנושא.
Good morning. Our lesson is about the absolute zero. We will be reading excerpts. We will continue from excerpt number 36. You can send us your questions to kab.tv. Selected questions will be here in the course of the lesson.
ההתקדמות שלנו.
Our advancement on behalf of the vessel, it depends on as much as we annul ourselves. The absolute zero. That I, every time, when I return to that thought that comes to me, either from the environment or from above, so once and again it shocks me that I constantly need to think of annulling myself towards the group. And by this, I advance in spirituality. I will never get a thought or a desire for that. Obviously, it's sent from the Creator, directly or through the environment, through all kinds of means, and we can see. But it's not that I, myself, can go towards it. To be a zero, to be annulled, that to the extent of my annulment towards the group, the environment, I can measure my spiritual advancement. That thought, that revelation, that I constantly see myself even more distant, see the friends more successful, it chills me, it rejects me, it worries me. On one hand, on the other hand, I have to understand that that's what is supposed to be. And specifically, every time, more and more, whether if I don't subjugate myself towards this state, or I give gratitude to the Creator for reminding me about the work, and every little bit accumulates a big sum, that's how I advance, and in the end, I guess, I will succeed. But even if not, or yes, every time I get an awakening towards the truth, to annul towards the group, and in such a way, again, take a step ahead into the palace of the Creator, I have to be happy. Please.
Excerpt number 36 from Rabash, what is man and what is beast in the work? Specifically, those who want to achieve bestowal feel the emptiness within them and need the greatness of the Creator. They can feel this emptiness specifically with exaltedness, called full of mitzvot, to the extent that they ask the Creator to give them the power to be able to go above reason, which is called exaltedness. In other words, they ask the Creator to give them power in exaltedness, that is, above reason, in greatness and importance of the Creator. They do not want the Creator to let them attain this, since they want to subjugate themselves with unconditional surrender. But they ask for help from the Creator. And to that extent, they can fill the empty place with mitzvot. They can fill the empty place with mitzvot. This is the meaning of filled with mitzvot, like a pomegranate.
Again.
Specifically, those who want to achieve bestowal fill the emptiness within them and need the greatness of the Creator. They can fill this emptiness specifically with exaltedness, called full of mitzvot, to the extent that they ask the Creator to give them the power to be able to go above reason, which is called exaltedness. In other words, they ask the Creator to give them power and exaltedness that is above reason, in greatness and importance of the Creator. They do not want the Creator to let them attain this, since they want to subjugate themselves with unconditional surrender, but they ask for help from the Creator. And to that extent, they can fill the empty place with mitzvot. This is the meaning of filled with mitzvot, like a pomegranate.
That before they had the will to receive with an awareness and a certain feeling, and afterwards that place emptied out, and now they have an ability or an opportunity, specifically that they have nothing, not to demand fulfillment in knowing and in feeling, but above knowing and above their feeling, they are asking for one thing, to have the ability to fill that place, that deficiency, with bestow towards the Creator, obviously through society. Then it turns out that they disconnect from the earthly state, uplift above it, and fill the desires with the greatness of the Creator. And that is called that they ascend to the second floor, the second level, to faith, emunah, above reason. And as much as they can compare reason and above reason, they see that those, both those two states, you can't compare them, because in reason, it's what they understand or feel. And above, what they don't want to feel and don't want to understand, just to bestow to the Creator and feel through the group how they're bestowing to the Creator. That's why they build here, specifically in such a way, a new state called the upper world. Questions? It's okay if it's hard to ask. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It's new things that this is how they come to us. Sometimes we can understand them better, sometimes less, but we need to make efforts. The main thing is to understand that all of our work is to bestow to the Creator through the group. And it's even better if I have emptiness towards it. Nothing. It doesn't draw me. I don't feel any benefit of this. And I depict the greatness of the Creator and how I can give Him pleasure, give Him contentment, specifically by having no benefit of it, no flavors in it, no taste, but I'm still doing it for Him. That tendency should be very important to me. And then I understand that the Creator purposely is giving me a state that I don't have any feelings in or any understanding, and no taste, no tendency towards it, any. He specifically is making a vacant place from the garbage of this world that I can start filling it with the greatness of the Creator. Okay? Yep.
That tendency to bequeath for myself the greatness of the Creator, although I do not feel the greatness of the Creator, in order to bestow upon Him. So what does it mean to depict it? What is that tendency?
That still He's great, He's the only force, He's the only control in reality, and I want to bestow to Him. I want to relate to Him in such a way. Now, the fact that I don't want and don't understand and don't feel and I'm not drawn towards it, that has to be clear to me, that it's because my will to receive doesn't see a benefit in this. So it weakens me. The hands drop down. The thoughts don't run towards it. The desire, none. And I just crumble. That is my will to receive. That specifically is not drawn towards it. Good. He's not drawn towards it, but I can specifically awaken myself that I have no desire. I'm looking at myself from the side. I have no desire, no mood, nothing. I'm empty. I look at myself, I'm just empty. Who emptied me? The Creator. For what? So I can fill this emptiness. It's called the mitzvot as the pomegranate, from the word romemut, from the greatness, that I'll fill myself with His greatness. But He's not great in my eyes. What should I do? Correct? If He was great in your eyes, you'd run towards Him like the thief. Catch the thief. And here you're not running. Good. That's beautiful that you're not running. Now I have an ability or an opportunity to bestow to Him, not on behalf of my will to receive, but because of faith above reason. That I still want it. Where do I take the force of faith? From the environment. I demand it. And from the Creator, I demand it to have the force, to have different kind of fuel from His greatness. And not that I'll enjoy His greatness, that it'll only give me an ability to bestow to Him. Let's say He's great. So I only know one thing. He's great. And that knowledge is sufficient to bestow to Him, to develop some actions and thoughts towards Him. That's it. In such a way, I start working. That is already faith above reason. It's a spiritual action. As many states like this that I go through, I'll feel that I enter a mind of feeling, a new world, new calculations that weren't there before, that my calculations are only with the greatness of the Creator. They'll be disconnected from corporeality. It will already be the next world.
The difference between asking for the greatness of the Creator and feeling the greatness of the Creator and having the strength to work, how do you make such a calculation correctly?
I don't want to work on behalf of my feeling, that it's pleasant, that I feel good. I'm also asking for greatness of the Creator, not that it will give me any confidence, security, a good feeling, belonging to the Upper One. No. I only want to extract the force of faith from this. That's why it's called like that, emunah, faith, to have the force to bestow. That's it. Only that. And not to take anything else from myself. But the force to bestow, I must have it. The force that awakens in me to bestow to Him without any self-benefit, that is called the force of faith, emunah.
That ability, that force to bestow, how do I examine that it exists? How do I examine that it affects me?
I depict it for myself. I'm a machine. And I want to receive a certain amount of calories, energy, in order to do actions of bestow. That's what I want. And it's clear to me that these calories won't come to my desire, whether it's good or pleasant or give me confidence or no. These calories will just give me the ability to bestow to Him, to give Him contentment without any belonging to myself. When we depict such states, we gradually start thinking, oh, this could exist. A state like this can exist. And then, gradually, we peel ourselves off from the egoistic desire and can live in somewhat on the path towards bestow. Okay? Yeah? About this.
When that state happens, when something from the greatness of the Creator comes to you, and you really don't care about the emptiness in your ordinary ego, in such a state, the greatness replaces automatically, it becomes a pleasure, and there's nothing to do with it. So what is the power of protection in this? Not to enjoy the greatness of the Creator, but just use Him as fuel. What is the...
I try to discern between these two states. If I want to bestow to the Creator, what do I have from this? Pleasure, and that's the reason I'm bestowing to Him? Or do I want to bestow to Him, and that is my pleasure? And the pleasure is all also to the Creator specifically, as we say, that He enjoys also the fact that I'm enjoying to bestow to Him. It's something we need inside to start twisting those, turning those wheels inside. Think about it, speak about it, to be in this inner struggle. Okay? Who was here? Yeah.
What does it mean to bestow upon Him?
Bestow to Him to awaken in the Creator, according to my understanding, to give Him contentment from me, the way I change and ascribe myself to this process of correction.
But is there some expression to it? This is something you know that you bestow to Him?
Yes, I want to know I'm bestowing to Him, but that this awareness won't be as pleasure. Because if it's pleasure to receive, but as only knowing it in order to know that I'm doing it correctly. Words here will just confuse us. We have to more and more think about it. Yeah.
And the force of faith, how does one obtain that?
Force of faith is the force of bestowal. Force of bestowal, it's bina. Force of faith. It's bestowing above taking for myself. How do you get it? Obviously from the environment. From the Creator through the environment. That the environment awakens us and we do want to be in it.
So understand that I cannot escape the pleasure. In any case, when the machine has to operate, it needs that fuel. But my purpose is not the pleasure, rather for the machine to work in the direction of the friends and the Creator.
There's the matter of the calories, and there's the matter of the pleasure. I want my machine to work according to calories. I need fuel, and it could be that this fuel and the action comes with pleasure. So the question is, who is the pleasure for?
So you will always have pleasure, but it shouldn't be the purpose, but rather a side effect.
Not a side effect. I want to use it also in bestowing contentment to the Creator. I can't bestow to the Creator if I'm not enjoying, but that the pleasure is aimed towards Him. Again, I'm saying words here. That's how it is along the whole path. Okay? Read it again, please.
Excerpt number 36. Specifically, those who want to achieve bestowal feel the emptiness within them and need the greatness of the Creator. They can feel this emptiness specifically with exaltedness, called full of mitzvot, to the extent that they ask the Creator to give them the power to be able to go above reason, which is called exaltedness. In other words, they ask the Creator to give them power in exaltedness, that is, above reason, in greatness and importance of the Creator. They do not want the Creator to let them attain this, since they want to subjugate themselves with unconditional surrender. But they ask for help from the Creator, and to that extent, they can fill the empty place with mitzvot. This is the meaning of filled with mitzvot like a pomegranate.
Okay?
Okay.
What does it mean that they don't want him to let them attain this?
Because attainment is reason, and they want to go in faith above reason.
So they want to be specifically in a request from the Creator to give them that force?
Doesn't matter that the Creator gives this force. They don't want to fill their vessels of reason, mind and feeling, which are used to receiving what we live in. They don't want them to be filled because those vessels are flawed in spirituality. They don't work for attaining the Creator.
He starts by saying specifically those who want to go in order to bestow. So they're already detached from their vessels.
They're disconnected from a feeling and understanding in reason.
And then the exaltedness is needed. They ask it of him.
Yeah.
But what does it mean that the exaltedness won't be in their kelim?
They don't want to get it as fulfillment in the vessels of knowledge and feeling. They want that exaltedness of the Creator to help them ascend to the degree of bestowal above knowing and feeling.
So the exaltedness has a form of fulfillment and fuel?
The exaltedness has a force that helps you bestow to the Creator.
So what is there about this request that give the ability to bestow and not be fulfillment?
I don't want a fulfillment. I'm only asking for the force to bestow, and I won't say anything more than this. We'll ruin what we were already speaking about.
Are there two requests, or because they want to go and bestow, and then once again they go for bestow through exaltedness, because only those who want to bestow can come to such a request?
Yeah.
And then when you come to such a request, you want that too to be in order to bestow?
Yeah. Yeah.
Excerpt number 37, the importance of recognition of evil, Rabash. work that is the preparation to enter true spirituality. That is, when he takes upon himself to believe in the importance of the Creator above reason, he must take upon himself that he wants to go specifically with faith above reason, even though he was given the reason of how to see the greatness of the Creator within reason. He prefers faith above reason due to
he rejects this opportunity to know the Creator in reason. He doesn't want it. It's because he already got such an illumination that sustains him.
Because of the honor of the Creator, conceal the matter. This is regarded as wanting to go above reason. Precisely then, he becomes a kli that is fit to receive spirituality, since he has no concern at all for himself, but all his intentions are only to bestow upon the Creator. For this reason, there is no longer fear that should he be given some illumination, it will go into the vessels of reception, since he always tries to exit self-love. Again, work that is preparation to enter true spirituality. That is, when he takes upon himself to believe in the importance of the Creator above reason, he must take upon himself that he wants to go specifically with faith above reason, even though he was given the reason to see the greatness of the Creator within reason. He prefers faith above reason because of the honor of the Creator, conceal the matter. This is regarded as wanting to go above reason. Precisely then, he becomes a kli that is fit to receive spirituality, since he has no concern at all for himself, but all his intentions are only to bestow upon the Creator. For this reason, there is no longer fear that should he be given some illumination, it will go into the vessels of reception, since he is always trying to exit self-love.
Slowly, there are periods where we're closer to understand and feel what we're talking about, and there's times that less, that we feel and understand what we're talking about, then, so that's how it happens. But every time, a bit more exertion and a bit more exertion, and as much as a person makes efforts, it brings them close to the matter. And there's nothing more important than trying to enter faith above reason. The rest is technique. Questions?
Ken.
Yes.
No, Moti.
Moti, yeah.
Can you tell us what to exert with at that point where we're once like this, another time like that? Where should our effort be focused on?
How could it be that I do give contentment to the Creator without anything coming back to myself? How can you do such a thing? Because I'm a machine that works on fuel called fulfillment, pleasure, and feeling and understanding. If I don't fill myself with feeling and understanding, how can I bestow to the Creator? How can it be possible? You can't. According to all the laws of this world, it's impossible. Let's say that from above I get some kind of force that lets me, that allows me to bestow to the Creator without anything to come back to me. How should it settle in me? How should it exist in me? How will I feel? How will I understand? What will awaken me to such an effort? How I relate to my work, to what I'm doing for him. What attitude towards him will I have then, if I keep doing it? Will I resemble him? Will I be opposite? Will I be for him? You have to think.
Can we make the effort in the relationship between us and the Creator?
Here we start thinking that the 10 is a means for this. That if I work in the 10 in order to give contentment to the friends, so along with them I start understanding, feeling, knowing, acknowledging a state that, yeah, maybe it is possible to bestow to them as if without getting anything back for myself. And that is called that I'll only receive in order to bestow, that I'll get fuel, energy, only to bestow. More than that, not asking for it. That's called that I'm praying for an opportunity to bestow. That's it. So I need to know what to bestow, who to bestow to, how to bestow, and the forces to do it. It's no problem. We're already in this. We just need to start finding our way in it more. Yeah?
If one receives the greatness of the Creator in vessels of reception, what to do about it? Is it an example when to ask in order to forget?
Speak English.
What if one receives proof, truly feels within all of his senses the greatness of the Creator, the existence of the Creator as the good that does good, then what to do?
If a person feels in all of his vessels the greatness of the Creator, so he's activated according to that, and he is called an angel. An angel. Meaning he has the fuels, he has the knowledge, he has the feeling, and according to that he's activated as a machine. There's a bad machine, there's a good machine. If the Creator fills him and gives him all of the inner information and he's activated according to that, he's called an angel and not man, not Adam. A machine, a good machine. They're evil machines. It's all in the hands of the Creator. Because he fills him with his knowledge, with his greatness, and according to that, he's activated. And that's not good. It's not good. We have to shut our eyes, make a tzimtzum. I don't want to see you. That is called that in the reward that Moses, concealed his face from looking, so he was rewarded with the picture of the Creator. How could it be that he shut himself off? And specifically like that, you attain. And an angel doesn't. He just gets a command, does it automatically, just like a machine, a robot.
If one received some sensation of the greatness of the Creator in incorrect vessels, how then to purify what he received?
It'll go. He has to work according to that. He has to work according to that. You are in an environment that will ruin you. Don't worry. You won't be an angel. We'll make sure.
The corruptions truly flow through me here.
No.
So?
But Osman...
And at the same time, there are examples in life.
I can't deny the greatness of the Creator. There's miracles in every direction. So,
okay, yes, there are some and some. it'll go by. Meaning we need this and we need that. Yes, Gershon.
Caring for the friends, should it be felt somewhere in the kelim, in the vessels?
What?
I want to care for my friends. Is it supposed to be felt somewhere that I feel that he cares for his friend?
I need to care for the ten, not the friends, to my ten, because that is the mold, that's the pattern, that's a system. That in it, I'm connected to the Creator. I have a contact, I have a meeting point with the Creator. The ten is my anchor in the spiritual world. A vessel, my spiritual vessel.
I have to aspire to feel it in my vessels, that I truly feel it.
Yeah, I want to feel the ten instead of myself, instead of my body. That I don't have anything. Not a body, not anything, not hands, not a head, not shoes, nothing. I feel myself entirely existing in the ten.
Can it be that I give contentment to the Creator without feeling the friends, without feeling the ten? I make an effort, but
you can think whatever you want. We are talking about giving contentment to the Creator in awareness that we reach contact with Him and even adhesion. And that's only through the ten.
I'm asking that because we're talking about above reason, above mind and emotion, and I can't seem to perceive that place of caring for the friends this way.
Okay, think about it. Give it to David.
When you say ten, do you mean the center of the ten or the middle point or what?
Sometimes this, sometimes that. It's a term, it's a concept, the ten, where I annulled, and me and the others have some kind of quality, some unity, some mutual bestowal, where the I disappears, the each and every one's I, the self-feeling, and instead of that, there's a feeling of we.
So the way I treat the ten is the way, is this we, this us?
This we also shouldn't be egoistic. There's work there. Okay?
New York. Shalom, Rav.
Hello, Rav. We say that Malchut of Ein Sof, the first restriction is not cancel. She does not receive on the one hand, but on the other hand, we say that all that I have are vessels of reception, and I must receive, but only the intention changes. So what's going on here?
I must receive energy, fuel. We call it fuel in order to work. The question is, am I receiving it to enjoy it or to give joy? That's the question.
Meaning, something is going through my will to receive. There is fulfillment that enters in order to activate it. And I use that eventually in order to give contentment to the Creator. But nothing of this contentment goes to me?
Nothing except for the necessity to receive in order to bestow. These are already measurements in the vessel. O chasadim, o chokhmah. This is something we'll learn and go through later. It's not so far from us.
So I don't have to, in my present state, I shouldn't be concerned of how much and what I receive, but only be concerned about the request that I need the necessity in order to be able to act in bestowal.
The main part is not quantity, but the quality. Why am I doing this for? What's happening here? What am I doing with this fulfillment? What am I working for? And all those questions.
Meaning, in every action I take during the day, ideally speaking, in every action throughout the day, before every action, I should ask, why am I doing this form?
Yes, obviously. So it's not called an action if you're not thinking about it, if you're not planning it.
Yeah, but I make thousands of actions during the day.
No, we're speaking about the group and the Creator. All your other actions, it's your donkey doing, not your man, not the Adam.
Okay, so in every action which I intend to do in the direction of the group, I always have to make sure that I'm acting the first to do this action only in Bistol,
yes,
and not for myself.
Yes, of course. Otherwise, you're in the Klipa right away. Right? Good. Yeah.
How in the tent can we help each other to enjoy in order to give, to delight the Creator and not the other way around?
That's your work. I'm not answering such things. It's your work. You check how yes, no, start getting confused, changing things, talk about it. It's good. It's good. 38.
Except number 38, what is flood of water in the wall, Rabash? The law is that the middle line is a merger of the two lines. Since the right line of Gdusha, sanctity, is wholeness with respect to above reason, and the left line means that he sees within reason that he is incomplete, but quite the contrary, he is full of deficiencies. For this reason, the middle line consists of two lines. That is, it is impossible to go above reason before he has reason that shows him the situation, how it seems to him within reason. Then it can be said that he is not looking at what the mind obliges him to do. Rather, he goes above intellect and believes in the sages, in what the sages tell him, and does not use his own mind. But if he has no mind and reason to tell him something, it cannot be said that he is going above reason. This is why the middle line is called peace, since he needs the two lines. That is, by having two opposite lines and needing both.
What exercises can we invent for us in order to feel what is in reason and what is above reason, and in reason and above reason, and constantly reset ourselves, calibrate ourselves in this and that, in this and that. Get ourselves used to this, that it becomes a custom, this feeling. This world, the upper world, this world, the upper world. Because we will need to work with this constantly, because we will fall to minus one and then plus one, minus two, plus two. This is how we climb the ladder. As much as Mount Sinai is bigger, we'll have to go lower. Well, it's not called lower, it's called the left line, to be in the left line. Because the descent is a left. But that's how it is, one against the other. So let's think, what exercises can we depict for ourselves, which is called in reason, and that is called above reason. Even though it's opposite than what I think, than what I understand, than what I feel. Well, let's read it again.
The law is that the middle line is a merger of the two lines. Since the right line of Kedusha, sanctity, is wholeness with respect to above reason, and the left line means that he sees within reason that he is incomplete. But quite the contrary, he is full of deficiencies. For this reason, the middle line consists of two lines. That is, it is impossible to go above reason before he has reason, that shows him the situation, how it seems to him within reason. Then it can be said that he is not looking at what the mind obligates him to do, rather he goes above the intellect and believes in the sages, in what the sages tell him, and does not use his own mind. But if he has no mind and reason to tell him something, it cannot be said that he is going above reason. This is why the middle line is called peace, since he needs the two lines, that is, by having two opposite lines and needing both.
Shilot.
Questions?
No.
Yes.
How do you keep the knowledge not covered up?
Why should you cover it up? You have to blur it out. Why do you need that? You have to take it, to feel it, to understand it, and then go above it. If you don't step on your reason, how can you go above it?
I agree, but like Lawrence explained, sometimes you get such a situation that the Creator is good, who does good, the whole world is wonderful, so you don't maintain the reason, and you can build above reason if you don't maintain the reason itself.
The fact that you have a feeling that the Creator is the good that does good and filling on and so on, that's you are your reason, your knowledge right now. So what do you do with it?
The question is how to always keep those two opposite states at the same time and not move from one to the other. How to maintain the reason to be able to be above reason and not just somewhere.
I don't know what you mean. The fact that you received what you're saying now, a beautiful, good thing from the Creator, He's filling you, oh, heaven. That is the Creator filling your egoistic vessels. That's it. What are you? The Adam in you, the thought, the action. Where is that? Well, what, he bought you by filling you with 10 grams of pleasure?
Or the other way around?
You don't say the contrary. You answer what I'm saying. You're already jumping.
I don't want to be in that state.
You don't want. So here you have to start building yourself as an Adam, man. You got a candy like a child. Oh, life is good. That's it. No, how do you raise yourself above that? This is where you need a society and all the things that we learn about. Yes, Amnon. No. Okay. Yaakov?
In that machine called 10, every time we identify that one part is in such a state, another part is in another state.
What part?
A part of a machine feels...
Between the 10 friends?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We're talking about the sum of it all. That's our work. Today everybody is jumping, tomorrow something else. I just look at it that I have to annul towards them. If I got them, I only have the work of annulment. First of all, it doesn't matter who is bigger or smaller. First, I have to annul towards them all. Yeah.
And what does it mean that we annul together?
That each one, it's his work, he needs to annul, and if he sees that the others are asking it of him, so he tries to help them annul too. Everybody's annulment is towards the Creator that is in the center. But it's a big vessel, because as much as you annul, we don't annul our desire. We as if pass it upward. We raise it above reason. Or build a bigger spiritual vessel with it. As much as we annul ourselves towards the 10. We don't have any other true deed except for annulment and connection. And through that, there'll be a reshimo of clothing and a reshimo of aviut, coarseness, and then we can start working. Well, Amnon, what? You don't want it? No, it's okay. Yeah.
So it turns out that the only exercise we do is annulment.
Ken.
Yes, we only annul, but annul in all kinds of different manners, different ways. That's why with annulment I also acquire all kinds of things. You see, it's like, let's say a woman that annuls herself and serves her husband and kids, she is called the landlord. But she serves everybody, she runs around, she does everything, she prepares laundries, everything. But it gives her force to be the landlord, to such an extent that what she says, her husband has to do.
So is it okay that the annulment is still within reason for the time being?
Ken.
Yeah. Well, advance in annulment. I understand that I have to annul myself as much as I can towards the 10 that they will bestow to me. More correct, that through them the light will bestow to me. I relate to a 10, but actually it's the Creator, the light that reforms, that if I aim myself correctly towards the 10, so through the 10 I get the correction. Okay? Yeah.
So what does it mean that he annuls himself correctly to the 10?
That's what Rabash writes in all his articles, that I'm blessing everybody, and I know, and I'm willing to receive their, what they say, that, and I'm more than them by that I have to be concerned about them, and I also have to be equal to them, that I'm concerned that we'll all gather in the center of the 10. All of that work. It all falls on me. I have to be concerned about the well-being of my 10. That is what I am serving to the Creator, as much as He can be revealed in it, to fill it, He will have contentment according to our exertion to organize the 10s in such a way that He can fill them. That's it. It's between us. There's nothing else. This is what there is between us. Between us and the Creator. Yeah.
There is a feeling within reason. If I understand it correctly, it's a feeling that can be pleasant, as we've heard, and you defined it as an angel, or it can be unpleasant. In the layer of the reason, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, how do I shift to above reason, where I'm not impressed from these feelings?
That depends on the light that shines upon you and sustains you. You can't yourself just to do something. There'll be changes like this and like that. And you'll see that there is a state that from it you can start working, start rising, ascending. We don't let go of these states. Yeah.
I do want to insist on that point. By ascribing that everything comes from, there's none else besides Him, this is the state where I advance to above reason?
No, the fact that you're saying that doesn't mean anything. Above reason is that you want in your vessels to determine the control of the Creator. That's it.
So it doesn't matter what I'm going through, I determine the control of the Creator over me.
Yeah.
Can we read this excerpt again and you would explain it?
That I start interpreting it? What?
Yeah, there was something about it. It feels that it requires more explanation.
38. The law is that the middle line is a merger of the two lines. Since the right line of Kedusha is wholeness, above reason, and the left line means that he sees within reason that he is incomplete, but quite the contrary. He's full of deficiencies. For this reason, the middle line consists of two lines, meaning from complete and incomplete. That it is impossible to go above reason before he has reason that shows him the situation, how it seems to him within reason. Then it can be said that he is not looking at what the mind obligates him to do. Rather, he goes above the intellect and believes in the sages, in what the sages tell him, and does not want to use his own mind. But if he has no mind and reason to tell him something, it cannot be said that he is going above reason. This is why the middle line is called peace, since he needs the two lines. That is, by having two opposite lines and needing both. So what do you want here to... What should I elaborate on here?
Working with three lines here.
No, it still is as much as he... It's still not for us. It's not for us. I don't want to jump ahead too much. What we were talking about, that's it. We have reason, we have above reason, and we need to determine ourselves in general how to relate above reason. And only that, up and down, above, below, and not three lines. This is already too much right now. Okay, keep going.
Excerpt number 39, Rabash, article concerning joy. Joy is a testimony. If a person becomes stronger in the matter of faith to believe that the Creator is good and does good, that there is none above him, although in the situation he is in right now, he has nothing to rejoice with, meaning to be happy about. And yet, he reinforces himself and says that the Creator watches over him in a manner of good, who does good. If his faith is sincere, it stands to reason that he should be happy and delighted. And the measure of joy testifies to the level of sincerity in his faith. By this we can interpret what is said about Rabbi Elimelech, who said that when he passes away and is told to go to hell, he will say, if this is what the Creator wants, I will jump in. That is, this is regarded as providence and good who does good. Thus, he is always happy.
No. Seder, זה רק אומר על מידת האמונה, כן, שזה למעלה מהדעת, שלא מאמין לכלים שלו, לא
This is providence that he doesn't take into consideration his vessels in reason, but is going with the force of faith above reason. It's not complete. I also see that this is Rabash, volume 3, meaning he wrote it for himself, he took some notes for himself. It is still not processed. Item 40, Rabash, the upper one, scrutinizes for the purpose of the lower one. The lower one is powerless to begin the work, but only in the form of lo lishma, called will to receive. For only the lo lishma gives the first moving force of the lower one. For when a person does not find sufficient flavor in corporal pleasures, he begins to search for spiritual pleasures. It follows that the root of the work of the lower one is the will to receive. And the prayer called man rises up, and then the upper one corrects this man and places on it the power of the masach, which is a desire to delay the abundance before the lower one knows about himself that his aim is to bestow. That is, the upper one bestows upon the lower one good taste and pleasure in the desire to bestow, by which the lower one feels his exaltedness. At that time, he begins to understand that it is worthwhile to annul before him and cancel his existence before him. Then he feels that all that there is in reality is only once, it's only because such is his will, that the Creator wants the lower one to exist. But for himself, he wants to annul his existence. It follows that then all the vitality he feels is regarded as lishma, for her sake, and not for himself. When he feels this, it is considered that he already has the correction of the man. And then he is also fit to receive the mad as well, for there is no contradiction between them anymore, since the lower one too wants the benefit of the upper one and not his own benefit. It is considered that when the upper one gives the lower one mochin, he also gives him the clothing of mochin, meaning that he gives the lower one the abundance as well as the power of the masach, which is the desire to bestow. This is the meaning of from lo lishma we come to lishma. Nice. Again, the low one is powerless to begin the work. The low one is powerless to begin the work, but only in the form of lo lishma, not for her sake, called the will to receive. For only the lo lishma, not for his sake, gives the first moving force of the lower one. For when a person does not find sufficient flavor in corporal pleasures, he begins to search for spiritual pleasures.
Up to here, is it clear? What, Niv, what are you looking at? You were addicted to soccer your whole life. Suddenly, your desire for soccer disappeared, you don't enjoy anything anymore, and you came to Kabbalah. Is that clear?
Yes.
Good, that's what we're talking about. Meaning, your motivation force to advance towards the truth, that's his will to receive. No more than that. Yeah?
It follows that the root of the work of the low one is the will to receive. And the prayer, called man, rises up, and then the upper one corrects this man and places on it the power of the masach, which is a desire to delay the abundance before the lower one knows about himself that his aim is to bestow. That is, the upper one bestows upon the lower one good taste and pleasure in the desire to bestow, by which the lower one feels his exaltedness. At that time, he begins to understand that it is worthwhile to annul before him and cancel his existence before him.
That can also be if you don't understand why and how, but he wants to know the upper force, he wants to know nature, he wants to know the Creator, or the upper forces, or that is what awakens in him, the desire grows, yes?
Then he feels that all that there is in reality is only because such is his will. That the Creator wants the lower one to exist. But for himself, he wants to annul his existence. it follows that then all the vitality that he feels is regarded as lishma, for her sake, and not for himself. When he feels this, it is considered that he already has the correction of man, and then he is also fit to receive mad as well, for there is no contradiction between them anymore, since the low one too wants the benefit of the upper one and not his own benefit. It is considered that when the upper one gives the low one mochin, he also gives him the clothing of mochin, meaning that he gives the low one the abundance as well as the power of the masach, which is the desire to bestow. This is the meaning of from lo lishma we come to lishma, from not for her sake we come to her sake.
That it turns out that each one receives pleasure, and each one fills the other with pleasure. Just, and then they're both fulfilled. Okay? Yes, Itzik.
Meaning the point in the heart which brought everyone here. And when a person was willing to relinquish his whole life only to follow that point,
he's not annulling his life.
No, he was willing to.
No, he was willing to do it in order to get a bigger reward. Some went to get a reward of $1 million, and some wanted contact with the Creator. So don't make them saints already.
No, I'm not turning them into sacred, but this is something we are all familiar with. Accordingly, we can compare the point in the heart and the work that we're talking about right now. I have to annul that thing which brought me here and to work above this?
No, you have to continue with the same point that is shining for you and drawing you. It's the root of your soul, and you need to continue it only to organize the correct clothing upon it. It's just a point.
And it is lo lishma, not for a sake.
Obviously, lo lishma for ken lishva. It's also lo lishma isn't simple until we reach it. Yeah.
We need to have some grip here. This is why I'm asking.
That point of grip should go from a person's personal point to the center of the group. That's a sign that a person entered from the pre-spiritual to the spiritual work. If he knows and starts getting discernments in annulling himself in the 10, that is already entering, being taken care of by the light. The light can start bestowing upon him, because the light only works on a 10 and no less. Who was next to Itzik?
Hello? Ah, Gena.
Yeah, Gilad. Why next?
What does it mean to ask for the greatness of the Creator and when it comes not to receive it as fulfillment?
Again?
What does it mean to ask for the greatness of the Creator, the control of the Creator, and when it comes not to receive it as fulfillment?
As a means, as a force.
How can you ask for something and when you receive it, not to receive it as fulfillment?
Well, imagine it's calories. These calories can enter a vessel where you enjoy, or these calories can go into a vessel that gives me fuel to move. Let's say you drink a shot of some alcoholic beverage and it says like 500 calories, right? There's a lot. So you could be drunk and have enjoy yourself, and it could be working in you just so you feel that drive, that impulse. Where are you aiming those calories to?
So this is what it means that he's writing here, the corrected man, that the person is asking something for his will to receive.
Yeah, give it not for me, but give it for you.
And now we just read that he's asking for something that he wants to receive, and then he receives a correction for his request. Now he knows how to ask for something that he will receive, not for himself.
Yeah, afterwards it's even more. The more you ask, it'll be even better. By this, you're giving contentment to the Creator as much as you're asking.
Yesterday, you recommended that we'll start talking with the Creator in the 10.
Yeah.
Can you explain more?
No, you have to tell me about it. How you were speaking, what you heard back from him. Not me.
More?
Yeah.
About annulment. You gave an example before, like a woman at home who serves everyone, and she becomes the landlord. She gives commandments, and her husband fulfills. I'm taking it in the direction of the 10. Someone who serves the 10 also becomes the landlord. So the question is, what will happen if everyone in the 10 will become a landlords? Is it a recipe for hatred and war?
No, the fact that you're annulling, you are all becoming as one body towards the Creator. Like the woman, the Shekhinah, towards the Creator. Okay. Who do we have? Kiev.
Hello, dear Rav. What Rabash writes here to cancel his existence?
The
feeling of dvekut, addition with the friends and attention that replace with all my emotions, meaning I should always be in that feeling of dvekut, addition?
No, don't worry. It'll come on its own. And you will start thinking in a broader manner. More reason, more feeling. It'll all come. It's with the light that reforms. Don't change anything in you inside, in all kinds of feelings and thoughts. And by force, it has to come by the light that reforms. Don't break your desires. Don't connect desires. Nothing. Just keep doing what we're speaking about. That's it. Okay? Abraham Guadalajara, do you want to ask anything? He's looking and smiling. Very strong, good guy. Asia.
My question is, when I work in the 10 and I start feeling like the greatness of the Creator in my all senses, what should I do next? How can I not feel pleasure from it and give it to the friends? How do I restrict myself in that? Should I do that, or what's the work? What's the internal work?
Your inner work is to bring all the good things to the 10. That it can strengthen the 10. And you will all be as one towards the Creator. And start acting towards the Creator. That we're together here towards you. How will you respond to us? How we respond back like that? Start in such a way to dance together. It really helps. You'll start feeling that you are in an action, that you between you and towards the Creator, and you'll start feeling all kinds of things from Him, changes that you'll start feeling. You'll succeed to ascribe it to Him. Then you will have a dialogue, a conversation, a mutual understanding, a dance. Okay, Jerusalem.
Upon what does one attain the greatness of the Creator?
Upon what? That is according to the way a person values it, as much as he annuls himself, subjugates himself. By that he gets the greatness of the Creator, the exaltedness of the Creator. It's not that, like in our world, that somebody's stronger than you, so you say, okay, you're stronger and bigger than me, and in spirituality it's opposite. As much as you try to subjugate yourself, and as much as you discover that the Creator is doing all these preparations in you for you to subjugate yourself, by this you give more gratitude and know His greatness. This is called, in the place where you know His greatness, that's where you attain His humbleness. It'll come. But it's a nice question. Jerusalem? I hear you. First time. Okay. Latin America.
Ah, Latin America. Adelante, Latin America. Adelante, Latin America.
Buenos días, Rap. Un amigo del Clí Latino pregunta: ¿cómo borrar de mí?
Friend from the Latin Clí is asking: to erase from my software the greatness and to bestow, not in order to receive for myself, how to erase from myself self-reception.
It won't help you. You can't just delete it. You can't uproot it. You can't cover it. You can't paint over it. Only through the friends and the greatness of the Creator, your will to receive gets a new form. And you are not allowed to truly subjugate it. The will to receive gets help against. He gets a different form. From the left, it starts helping you. It's like you can't live without criticism, without feedback. I put my hand into the fire, God forbid, if I don't feel a response. So my hand will burn. Meaning, we need our ego to work correctly. That's called the darkness will shine as light. That's why don't deal with the bad and the ego, but deal with the good and the connection and the light that reforms. That is the for sure that is good. That's what you have to do. And the evil, it will bend and be as help. It'll be an angel. The upper force that the Creator created will aid us also in attaining the goal. Without it, you can't. Only in wisdom we will know how to use these two forces, also in the force of bestow and the force of reception, and we'll discover our spiritual life here in this life. We are now really in the development of that kli, in opening that kli. We will already feel the upper world. And here there's enough forces. Look, also around the world, what we see. It's sufficient forces to reach it. Okay. Yeah.
I have a question.
You were talking about a woman who annuls before her husband and she becomes the landlord.
Yeah.
What brings that need to annul before her husband? What is the root for that?
You're asking about our life?
Also, yes.
I don't know. It's a root and branch, maybe. That by Malchut annulling towards the first nine Sefirot, she becomes the one managing them and receiving them, and she is Malchut. Malchut, on one hand, is the last and the weak and black and has nothing. On the other hand, specifically by connecting the first nine to her darkness, she raises them to the light.
But from still correcting here spiritual roots, there are spiritual roots for every higher roots in our world. And I can testify myself that much of my ability to contribute to the group, do something in the group, care for the friends, comes because I have the support of a wife pushing me from behind.
Right? That's why Kabbalists recommend everybody to be married. Yeah? But it's not that you have to start going deep in there. Rabbi said you can get married and she can live overseas and you live here to such an extent.
But still, if I look at all of my great friends, they have a wife that gives them everything they need, and you can see the results here, even more so. I heard a woman of a good friend of ours, she asked him, what can I do in order to be your wife? So he told her, you have to know that you must give me everything I need and to want to receive nothing from me.
He is a big Kabbalist. Okay, such a Torah I didn't hear about, but yes.
One's efforts to annul in the ten, this is actually what brings him to start even asking from the Creator.
If a person annuls in the ten, through the ten he gets the light that organizes all his thoughts correctly.
And besides of the framework of man's effort to annul before the ten, can he have some request, some appeal to the Creator?
Personal? No.
No, not personally, but let's say he's asking for forces to start annulling before the ten.
Yeah, yes, but only towards that.
But how does he turn to the Creator through the ten, even before having such efforts? How does he locate him? How can he turn to him?
Also through the ten. As if the Creator is concealed in the ten, he's turning to him to help him annul towards the ten, to build the vessel. Nothing more. You can't turn to the light, a formless light, abstract light, I don't even know how to call it. We always speak about the light, and it's the fulfillments, it's Havaya and fulfillments.
One cannot have a request for the Creator except for annulment for now, before the ten, or can he have more other requests?
No, that's the first request. That is the first one. Yeah?
Holding on to the ten and the Creator, does it happen within reason?
Yes. Meaning, to the extent a person feels the ten, he starts feeling the force of the Creator that is in the ten. Because it's one and the same. It's just a more inner fulfillment, and that is an external expression.
Meaning, it's not some illusion or something abstract. It's clear to you that you're holding on to the ten and you're holding on to the Creator.
Yes, of course. The fact that I start feeling that I'm receiving some force, and this force comes from the 10, through the 10, and not other way. On the contrary, if I even forget, so suddenly I feel changes, it aims me back towards the 10. Moscow.
Rav,
you asked the question today, but we didn't get the chance to discuss it. You said that we have to build one against the other and find an exercise or exercises that will be able to assist us in filling this gap between the upper world and this world. How can we invent such exercises that will convey such a feeling if I never felt the upper world before?
The upper world is what is revealed in the 10 that is connected correctly. That's it. Forces that are organized, desires, all kinds of processes, the lights that organize the vessels between them in all kinds of ways, that is the upper world. We think it's something small, tiny, you don't know what this is. Our whole universe is a zero compared to that. The 10 that is connected correctly, even a bit, according to my efforts, that it's correctly, it gives me a feeling, it gives me knowledge, a reality of the upper world, the spiritual world. Okay? Who? Italy. How can I give them?
Thank you. My virtual 10 Italia 3 is going to meet in probably August for a couple of days. And the question is, you mentioned that the 10 should not have an egoistical intention. So what should be checked by me or by the 10 in order to non-engage in this worry in the spirit of Klipa?
We constantly learn about it. I don't know what to say. Send us a few questions and we'll talk about it together. So your meeting will be correct. And we'll go to the next part.